We are joined now in studio by a couple of guests from the North Carolina Botanical Garden. We have Program and Engagement Coordinator David Michaud and also Director of the Herbarium, Alan Weekly. First of all, thank you both so much for being here this afternoon.
Great to be here.
Thanks for having us, Andrew.
Glad to have you. Even though it's under not necessarily great circumstances, as we're here to talk about the longleaf pine and the danger that the longleaf pine is in. Before we get into that, I was hoping we could hear a little bit about what each of you do, and we'll start with David.
All right. I'm David Michaud. I'm the Program and Engagement Coordinator at the North Carolina Botanical Garden. My job consists of coordinating all of our adult education programs. We have a lovely series of lectures, art classes, nature classes, hikes, tours, mindfulness programs, you name it. We have it. If we don't have it, send it my way, and we'll try to get it.
Sounds great. Alan, how about you?
Well, I'm kind of a science guy. I study the plants and ecosystems of the southeastern U.S. At the UNC Herbarium, a collection of over 800,000 museum specimens, and provide that information to natural resource managers, scientists, the public across the southeast region.
I like that word herbarium. It's a word that I haven't really heard before, but you know what it means right away. And I like the visual of it. Is that I have to also confess that I have not been to the North Carolina Botanical Garden. That's pretty high on my list of things to do, having just moved to the area in the last couple of years. Is the herbarium open to the public? Is that something people can go in and see?
It is open to the public. It's actually not down at the garden, but up on campus in Coker Hall near the bell tower. And we don't get a lot of visitors up there, but we are open to the public, yes.
Fascinating, fascinating. And we're here today specifically to talk about the North Carolina Botanical Garden and partners putting on this program called Saving Our Savannas, Stories of the Longleaf Pine. 6-month series of programs and events that honor the natural, cultural, and historical significance of longleaf pine communities. So let's talk about the longleaf pine. Why is it important to our community and to the state, first of all, and then we'll get into the danger?
Sure. So the longleaf pine ecosystem once occupied most of the eastern part of the state from roughly where I-95 is eastward and some areas west of I-95. And it was the dominant ecosystem across the coastal plain of North Carolina. It has a really important history, a really important biodiversity, and what we're trying to do with this programming over the next 6 months is emphasize all of that. So it was maintained by frequent fires that burned across the landscape. It kind of had this open canopy of longleaf pine trees and then a very diverse ground layer with lots of different plant species, including some of our most celebrated ones like Venus flytrap and pitcher plants, some of the insectivorous plants, a lot of native orchids, and also a lot of interesting animals, fox squirrels and red-cockaded woodpeckers and so forth. It's also really important for the history of North Carolina. It was kind of the basis for North Carolina's economy for a couple of centuries. And yet it has fallen on hard times. It's reduced to about 3% of its former extent. So it's kind of a forgotten part of North Carolina's history. Related to that is the Tar Heel State. The Tar Heel refers to the naval stores industry that extracted turpentine and tar and pitch from the longleaf pines. The state toast, land of the longleaf pine. Here's to the land of the longleaf pine, the summer land where the sun doth shine, where the weak grow strong and the strong grow great. Here's to down home the old North State.
Glad we got some poetry worked in there, too. I'm also reminded consistently of working in local news, as I do, of the Order of the Longleaf Pine, which is the I believe it's the highest civilian honor that someone can get in the state of North Carolina. So occasionally we have somebody locally that gets that distinction. And just also kind of speaks to the importance and the foundational impact that that plant and that tree had on our state. That's the best we can give someone is the Order of the Longleaf Pine. So we kind of know that it is important, and you've kind of established that it's a little bit in trouble. So What have we got going on with the North Carolina Botanical Garden to help educate people about this?
Yeah, well, one, Alan mentioned that he's a science guy. I'm not so much the science-minded person. I'm more of a creative, I like to call myself. But one takeaway that I've gotten from the lectures so far is that this ecosystem used to encompass 90 million acres or so, and we're down to around 3 million acres or so of longleaf pine ecosystems. That's a severe decline, of course, in these species. So Alan mentioned, we have several objectives of this program to kind of get the word out about it. Each month of this six-month series is focusing on a different theme. So January was our introduction to longleaf pine communities. This month, February, we're doing a little bit of alliteration, Fire February. So longleaf pine natural areas and their amazing adaptations to fire. Next month, March, will be cultural significance of longleaf pine communities. In April, we'll talk about the longleaf legacy and how the vanishing forest shaped the history and culture of the Southeast. And that's where we'll have one of those lectures about the history of the Tar Heels and naval stores and where that term really came from. In May, we'll have some programs around taking action for longleaf pine communities. And then in June, we'll talk about leaving a legacy for the future. We hope, even though this is compiled in 6 months, we hope that this can be ongoing into the future.
Absolutely. And we'll talk about how that might play out here in just a minute. But I wanted to ask also, how can people get involved and support the series? I know that you said one of the focus is how people can get involved generally, but the series itself, how can people get involved with that?
I mean, knowledge is power. Just attend the programs. Many of the lectures are free to attend. We have a few workshops that do have a fee because we do want to be able to pay our instructors. But the lectures are mostly free. We have a lot of recorded programs too. So really just be interested. I guess I would be remiss to not bring up that we do have some sponsorship opportunities. So if you're out there and you know this is meaningful to you, feel free to get in touch with our development team, and they'd be happy to work with you on that. There's also several programs at the garden that could use some support, so we'd love to hear from you. Also, membership is critical to our mission at the garden, and that has many benefits as well.
We're visiting with David Michaud and Alan Weekly from the North Carolina Botanical Garden, talking about Stories of the Longleaf Pine, a six-month series of programs that we're already 1 month into, 1.5 months even almost, with February being a short month. We're talking about how those drastic numbers showing the decrease in longleaf pine, and I don't want to put you on the spot here, Alan, but if you happen to know, is that significantly more of a decrease than other species of trees in this area, or is that kind of like a thing that's going on across the board?
It's definitely a disproportionate loss of the longleaf pine ecosystem. Across the Southeast, from Virginia to Florida and west to Texas, the longleaf ecosystem was just decimated. It was this very important economic resource, but unfortunately it was managed in a non-sustainable way. So the longleaf pine lost out. The fires that used to maintain that ecosystem no longer burned after we built towns and houses and so forth. We weren't so keen on having fires burning across the landscape. A lot of the longleaf, after it had given up naval stores for decades, was cut down and used as timber and so forth and not reforested. Portions of the landscape that it once occupied are now, of course, lots of uses, timber plantations, farmers' fields, towns and cities and second home developments, et cetera. So there are some pretty significant remnant areas of longleaf pine. Some of those are down in the Sandhills region around Southern Pines and Pinehurst. On Fort Liberty, the Army base, and the Sandhills Game Land, Wildlife Resources Commission property west of Southern Pines. And then also some significant areas, particularly near the coast, areas like Croatan National Forest near Beaufort and Morehead City, Holly Shelter Game Land, another Wildlife Resources Commission managed game land in Pender County, and the Green Swamp Preserve managed by the Nature Conservancy in Brunswick County are a couple of the major areas where one can go see this this sort of lost ecosystem.
Well, that's good news. I was definitely getting strong Lorax vibes here. We're losing our truffula trees, but there are still places. And to the point, that's the idea here is doing this now, right, where there's still time to actually make an impact. If people want to get more information, where's the best place they can go?
Yeah, they can visit our website. We have a short link, ncbg.unc.edu/longleaf. That'll take you to a landing page, which gives you all the information about the programs. There's links to past recordings. There's a resource kit for additional learning opportunities. You can also see a list of our wonderful sponsors. And if I could take a moment to highlight those folks,
go for it.
I would love to. Close to home at UNC, we have the American Indian Center. The Triangle Native American Society, the Lumbee Tribe of North Carolina's Agricultural and Natural Resources Department. Over in Raleigh, we have the NC Museum of History, the NC Museum of Natural Sciences. Down east, we have the Longleaf Alliance, the Nature Conservancy, which Alan mentioned, manages some of those properties, as well as Venus Flytrap Champions. So it's been an incredible effort. You know, this is a six-month series, but it also took about 6 months of planning just to make it happen. And then these folks have been incredible to work with. I have to give a special shout-out to our Director of Learning and Community Engagement, Joanna Massey-Lalikas, who's really spearheaded the efforts of getting these folks together, keeping us all on track, me especially, to get these programs listed and get the word out. So it's been phenomenal to work with them, and I look forward to partnering with them more into the future, too.
Another thing that's pretty cool about this is after the initial kind of run through June, then towns, organizations, and other groups will be able to borrow the Saving Our Savannahs traveling exhibit to kind of get the word out there throughout the rest of the year. Definitely something we'll be looking in on as the year continues. We're joined by David Michaud and Alan Weekly from the North Carolina Botanical Garden, and we are just about out of time. Is there anything else that either of you wanted to mention that we haven't gotten to yet?
Well, seeing as you haven't been to the garden, you definitely got to get yourself out there. We are along 15501 Fordham Boulevard at the intersection of Old Mason Farm Road. We're open Tuesday through Sunday, 9 to 5 Tuesday through Saturday, and 1 to 5 on Sunday. In the gallery right now, we have a wonderful exhibit, but coming up at the end of the month will be an exhibit focused on the longleaf pine savanna. That's being sponsored by members of the Guild of Natural Science Illustrators and North Carolina Botanical Artist Circles. And later in the spring, we'll have an opportunity for a community art exhibit. So if you are an artist or a photographer, feel free to start compiling your works, and there may be some opportunity for you to be involved with that exhibit.
Outstanding.
And I'll just mention that the longleaf pine ecosystem is not only biodiverse rich and important in North Carolina's history, but also incredibly beautiful. So I really encourage everyone to get out and see some of the natural areas that remain around the state that feature that ecosystem and that tree, and kindle your understanding of the real North Carolina, what North Carolina used to look like.
It's the voice of Alan Weekly. We've also been joined by David Michaud. Thank you both so much for being here this afternoon.
Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
We got more news on the Hill coming up.